Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, written by Joseph Mendel, is entitled Once Upon a Time.
Once upon a time, on a day in the autumn of the year, a young man came walking down the road that led from the world into the street of a little village. Even before he reached the first house, there came to his ears a sound that hovered over the village and filled the air, a sound of voices singing. He came closer and glanced into the shop of Beryl the tailor, who sat cross-legged on the table, surrounded by his scissors and spools of thread, pulling the needle through the cloth and singing as he worked. But the young man did not linger. Further down the street was Malka, hanging out the clothes she had washed. Here he stopped for a moment, for it was good to look at Malka with the sparkling eyes and tossing black hair, but only for a moment. He went on, and when he came to the schoolroom where the little children sat in rows and sang their lessons, the young man, whose name was Samuel, nodded slowly, as if he had made up his mind, and spoke to himself.
It's good to be in a place where people sing.
And then he turned to the nearest person, who happened to be Reb Zusia, and just as he opened his mouth...
Shh, please, not now.
I was about to ask...
I'd like to hear how Nathan the Malama teaches the children their ABCs. Ah, now, you were saying...
I wanted to know...
Excuse me, aren't you cold without a coat on a day like this?
Not as cold as I will be when winter comes.
You have no coat. I'm sorry. At least you should be indoors.
Which is just what I wanted to ask you. Where can a stranger find lodging in this town?
Oh, if all questions were as easy to answer, come with me.
Not so fast. Where are you taking me?
To my house, of course.
Oh, no. I don't want to impose.
You asked me, didn't you?
Yes, but it was not in my mind.
Of course not. Still, am I to think that a man who wears no coat on a day like this is inquiring about the inn?
I see what you mean.
Besides, it's not a question of imposing. Tonight is the Sabbath. It will make me very happy if you will consent to be my guest.
And so Samuel went to Reb Zusia's house, but only to leave his knapsack, for the sun was going down. They walked to the synagogue, and together with Beryl the tailor and Nathan the Melamed and the others of the congregation, they welcomed the Sabbath with song and prayer, and then went home.
Anna! Good Shabbos, Anna.
Good Shabbos! Good Shabbos! Zusia, it's so late, I didn't know what to think.
Oh, did we sing tonight? Come, Hannah, give me your hand.
What are you doing? It's time to sit down to the Sabbath meal.
First, a little dance in honor of the Sabbath.
La 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 la.
Zosia, how does it look? Two elderly people.
I'll tell you, Hannah, I think God likes to see it. Now, we'll sit down to eat. But is something wrong, Samuel?
No, no. Only I was looking for the wine. The wine for saying the Kiddush.
Oh, this week we have no wine. Maybe next week.
But the Kiddush?
When we have no wine, we say the blessing over bread. Just smell it, Samuel. My Hannah bakes the best Sabbath loaf in the whole village. You're looking for something else?
There's nothing on the table but bread. That's what you eat, bread and water?
Of course not. This is the Sabbath. Hannah, you forgot to put the onion on the table. Are you in pain, Samuel?
I'm trying to understand.
It's not really difficult. For a penny or two, you can buy flour and an onion, but not roast goose.
But I heard the way you sing.
That's not so remarkable either. As you yourself said, this is a town of happy people.
Well, how do you like our town, Samuel?
I was saying to Reb Zuthia, well, take yourself, for example, Beryl. When I saw you yesterday, there you were, working hard and singing away.
Why shouldn't I sing?
Why not? A man works hard, but he accumulates a little capital.
We do what we can.
And he knows that at the end of the day, he'll sit down to a hot meal. Roast chicken, maybe, or a stew with meat and potatoes. Why shouldn't he sing?
Samuel, you're still talking about me?
I'm not. Never mind, Beryl. You don't have to tell me.
What is there to see in a schoolroom?
I don't know. Books, I suppose.
Then look for yourself, Samuel. There they are. All three of them.
But, Reb Nathan, how do you manage with all your pupils?
Very simple. They take turns at the books.
And you're satisfied with that?
My dear young man, if you want me to answer, you'll have to explain first what you mean by satisfied.
It doesn't matter. I can understand that there may not be enough money for books, as well as a decent salary for the teacher.
Samuel, if you will permit me to say so, that is the most foolish statement that has ever been uttered in this room.
I only said...
What am I? Go on, tell me. What am I?
You? You're the teacher?
Exactly. And who ever heard of paying a teacher a decent salary?
Reb Nathan...
And if you ask me why I remain a teacher, then I'll tell you point blank. If that is what I want to do, it's none of your business.
I didn't mean to offend you, Reb Nathan.
Who's offended? Now, come. Let's talk of pleasanter things. Tell me, Samuel, have you seen our Balka yet?
How old are you, Malka?
What a question.
You're 19.
You didn't have to ask, after all, did you, Samuel?
If you're 19, why aren't you married?
Geh ich mir spazieren, tralalalala. Geh ich mir spazieren, tralalalala.
There, you see? Instead of answering, you sing.
Maybe I like being an old maid.
You don't want to answer.
Samuel, my parents died when I was very young. Who would marry a girl without a dowry? Is that an answer to your question?
Yes, Malcolm. It's an answer.
And now, shall I sit down and weep?
You've been asking questions all day, Samuel.
Is there anything wrong in that, Reb Zosia?
You're trying to find out something.
Maybe I'm looking for opportunities. A man must earn a living.
How?
What's that?
You've told us nothing about yourself. How do you earn a living?
Little of this, little of that.
Oh, yes, I see.
What do you mean?
It's the same as with everybody else. I know just how it is.
You don't know anything about it.
Well, what have I said to make you angry?
You couldn't possibly know.
You're not angry, you're frightened.
A stranger comes to you and you pry into his private affairs.
I'm sorry, I won't say another word, Samuel. Although it's you who's been asking the questions. What have you discovered?
I'll tell you what. This is a village of paupers.
That, too, makes you angry.
I'm not angry. Besides, why shouldn't I be? When I first came down that street, I thought I would surely find enough here to keep me through the winter.
What a strange way to talk about your business.
Never mind how I talk.
Still, there's room here for you, too, Samuel.
I'm no fool, Reb Zosia. Do you expect me to stay here and starve with the rest of you?
The day ended slowly in the little village. The shops were closed, and the men returned from evening prayers to a meal that was certainly not roast goose. The children closed their eyes. The houses grew dark. Only the moon listened. In the morning, Reb Zosia arose and went out, as he did every morning.
Reb Zosia! Reb Zosia!
What is it, Beryl?
Look at you. Are you out of your mind?
Oh, no more than usual, I suppose.
It's colder than yesterday to go out without a coat.
Well, as a matter of fact, Beryl, I couldn't find my coat this morning.
Now, Reb Zosia, how can you not find a coat? It's simply that you don't look in the place where you left it last night.
That's logical, only I looked everywhere in the house. It's not there.
Impossible. A coat doesn't get up and walk away like a... Reb Zosia, I am an idiot.
But I'm the one who lost the coat.
This morning, when I opened my shop a little earlier than usual, Samuel passed on his way out of the village.
Yes, his knapsack is gone.
He was wearing a coat that looked familiar. It was your coat, Reb Zosia.
Do you really think so?
Of course. Try him, Dovid, quickly, after him.
Beryl.
If you run, you can still catch him.
Wait, everybody, wait. Beryl, I want to ask you something. Did the coat fit him?
Well, if you want my professional opinion, it was a trifle short in the sleeves and a little tight in the shoulders and just a little bit... Well, you'll see for yourself when we catch him.
Let him go.
But he's a thief.
It'll be a hard winter. He'll need a coat.
Here, Reb Zosia. Take your coat.
You didn't have to bring it back, Samuel.
You have no right to give it to me.
It's mine, isn't it? I mean, it was.
Take it back. I am not a beggar.
Proud, isn't he?
Please, Reb Nathan.
All right. So I'm a thief.
Nobody said anything, Samuel.
At least I don't pretend to be anything else.
See? There's hope for him. Even when he transgresses, he refuses to tell a falsehood.
But you're a fraud.
Who? I?
You, Reb Nathan, and Beryl, and Malka, and Reb Zosia, all of you, working from morning to night and going to sleep with an empty belly.
No one denies it.
And on the Sabbath, you sing as if you had money in the bank and knew where tomorrow's bread was coming from. You sing for joy.
If it doesn't please you...
You're blind, all of you. You don't see this world at all. That's why you can sing.
If it doesn't please you, who says you have to listen? Where is it written that you have to stay here and listen, huh?
Samuel ran as fast as he could away from the village he had entered a few days before. His footsteps slowed as he came to a forest. When he reached an open space where the grass grew and the stars shone through the trees, he lay down and slept. When he awoke, it was still dark, but he arose and went slowly back the way he had come. It was just growing light in the east when he hid behind Reb Zosia's house. and heard from the street the sexton's morning chant. Get up, Jews. Sweet, pious Jews. Get up and worship the Creator. Get up to serve the Creator. There was a stirring in the house, and then Samuel heard the voice of Reb Zusia singing. O Lord of the universe, he sang. O Lord of the world. I will sing a song of you.
Do, 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 do.
Where can one find you? Where can one not find you? Where I go. You.
And
where I stand.
Is doch du.
You.
Rock du.
Only you.
Nor du.
You again.
Wieder du.
Always you.
Nor du.
Only you.
Du, 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 du. Is am it's in a go.
When things go well.
Du.
You. When things go wrong.
I do.
You.
Do, 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 do. Shomayim do.
Sky is you.
Eretz do.
Earth is you.
Maile do.
You above.
Mata do.
You below. Where I turn. Where I wander.
Do, do.
He's talking to God. Reb Zusia talks to God.
Malka.
Samuel.
I brought you wood for the stove. Don't stand there. Put it away. You want to know where I got it?
I didn't ask you.
I gathered it in the forest.
Of course.
See? My hands are blistered.
I believe you, Samuel. I can't pay you.
Did I say anything about money? Besides, Noach the butcher will pay for the wood I'll bring him.
You can't earn a living by giving away wood.
I've managed all my life without your advice, Malka. Take the wood and stop arguing.
All right. And thank you. Samuel, why did you come back?
It's obvious, isn't it? To see that you save up a dowry and find a husband.
There's more than one way of not answering a question.
Yes. Malka, I was on the other side of the forest, almost at the next town.
But you came back.
You asked me why, and I don't know what to say.
It's not important.
Of course it's important. I have to know. I've been in many places and talked with many people. But I tell you, I have never seen any like the people in this village.
Are we so different from everybody else?
Reb Zusia is no fool. Neither is Reb Nathan or even Beryl. And yet, Malka, maybe they see something that I don't see.
Hold still, Samuel. How can I fit you for a coat if you keep on fidgeting?
This is foolish, Beryl. I've told you a dozen times I can't pay you.
You're working, aren't you?
But in the meantime, I have no money to pay you.
But in the meantime, I'll give you a credit. Now stand still.
You would do that? You'd trust me?
No. No, I won't have it. Why should you do this?
You really want to know? Call it enlightened self-interest.
I'm serious, Beryl.
So am I. Just look. If you go around in this weather without a coat, you'll surely get sick. And if you should die, God forbid, we'd have to bury you. It's cheaper this way. Turn around.
Stop it.
Oh, you still don't like my singing. Maybe you're a critic. That's your trouble.
What have you got to be cheerful about?
You know, Samuel, sometimes I have the same thought. Then I sit down in the evening for a heart-to-heart talk with God.
You too?
What do you mean? Why shouldn't I talk to God if I feel like it? Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I say, Lord of the universe, how did you ever come to make such a world? Even I, Beryl the Tailor, even I could suggest so many improvements. But I don't have to tell you, do I, Samuel?
Do you get an answer, Beryl? Tell me, do you get an answer?
Then I think if God in his wisdom sees fit to refrain from telling me how to pin a coat, what is there for me to say? Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord of our God. The Lord is one.
Tell me what you see, Reb Zusia.
My eyes are no different from yours. I see the poverty, the weeping.
It's not true. I heard you sing this morning. You see another world.
It's the same world, Samuel.
When Beryl recites the Shema, it's as if he is saying, what a joy to be alive to serve God.
Then you know.
But I don't understand.
Reb Zusia took the young man Samuel by the hand, and they sat down. And Reb Zusia spoke to him. He did not discuss faith and God's presence. What need was there? For was not the whole earth filled with his glory? Nor did he speak of the suffering of this world and the pleasures of the next. For God is not only in heaven, but he spoke of himself and of Beryl and Nathan and how sometimes they felt heaven in a chapter of the Talmud and heard God's voice in the words of a psalm. When he had finished, he looked at Samuel and said,
you have not understood.
It's no use, Reb Zusia.
I will try to explain in another way. Listen, Samuel.
La 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 la. Tra la 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 la. La 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 tra la 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 tra la 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 ya la 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 ya la 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 ya la 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 la.
You don't have to cry, Samuel. Let us sing together.
Once upon a time, on a day in the autumn of the year, a young man came walking down the road that led from the world into the street of a little village. And though it happened long ago, and the village has vanished and is almost forgotten, it may well be that he lived happily ever after. If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York.
And now we take great pleasure in presenting Louis Stein, prominent civic leader. Mr. Stein.
In today's script, we heard the story of Samuel, who took a road that led from the world into the street of a little village. What he found in that village puzzled and dismayed him. People with only an onion for the Sabbath, without any of the luxuries and without some of the necessities of life, were happy and content, singing and joyful. It was only when he understood the villagers that Samuel realized that they held the secret to the treasure he had been seeking all his life. He knew then that a full and happy life was the result of devotion and kindness, faith and charity, and not wealth and luxury. All of us go through life seeking that which Samuel sought, a life of peace and contentment. From today's script, we learn that many people who seek happiness are looking in the wrong direction. It is not what we have, but what we are. It is not what we own, but what we share that can lead us to the path of inner satisfaction. Life can be empty, even if it is filled with luxury and conveniences. Our lives can be fuller only if we have love for our fellow men. Long ago, our sages taught, who is rich? He who is satisfied with his own lot. Material possessions alone do not guarantee that we will be happy. We can sing with joy and happiness, as the people in the village did, if we feel the glory of God in creation and the image of God in our fellow men. All around us, there are opportunities for service and love. If we but grasp these opportunities, we can find that which we have been seeking. Another lesson we learned from today's script is that goodness is contagious. There is no better way of teaching than by example. After Samuel had lived with the villagers, had observed their ways and experienced their charity, he was a changed man. His eyes saw more, his ears heard more, and his heart felt more. We must, all of us, try to develop within ourselves those qualities of soul and spirit which will help realize the promise of what we can become.
Thank you, Mr. Stein. Our Eternal Light drama today, Once Upon a Time, was written by Joseph Mendel. Featured in the cast were Leon Janney, Roger DeCoven, Louise Sorin, Guy Repp, Ellen Muir, and Beatrice Pons. The singers were Ida Appleman and cantor Robert H. Siegel. Norman Rose narrated. The music was written by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Roy Shields. This has been an NBC Radio Network production, directed by Dan Sutter.
This is the NBC Radio Network.